could sing that song and say that you believe. That you believe in Jesus Christ, that you believe that He died for your sins, that He cleared your debt, paid in full. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 24. We're going to do a short series here. Normally I don't tell you the title of the sermon, but today I'm going to tell you. So the title of this series is, Are These Verses Written on Your Wall? In so many Christian homes, we see verse after verse written on the walls. Big, powerful verses. Verses that changes people's lives. Huge, huge, powerful verses. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I don't just want to look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, as most of the time that's all that is written on the wall. For me, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Big, huge verse. I hope that you can say that you and your household are going to serve the Lord. But I want to look at the context behind Joshua chapter 24. Now, nowhere am I saying here to not write words on your house or wear shirts with verses on them. In fact, I want to back up that claim with Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Those last things mean nothing if you do not do the first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Think about that for just a moment. Are you loving God with all your heart? Are you loving God with all your soul? Are you loving Him with every strength that you have? Are you letting these verses change your lives? These big, powerful verses. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray that in your households that you're reminding your children and your family who God is. Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued with the chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and He put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan and fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you. I took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. You live in them and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant. Now, why would Joshua go out their whole history before them right now? Why would he tell them everything that has happened to him, all that God has done for him? Because Joshua here is going to issue a challenge for the people. A huge, huge challenge. See, God has been faithful since day one. He has been faithful to me, and I know he has been faithful for you. And even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful. Even all the things that the Israelites did wrong, but God was still faithful to Abraham. He still blessed the nations through Abraham. He still split the Red Sea. Even when the Israelites wanted to turn back, they wanted just to go back. They said, "Why would you lead us here just to die?" But God heard their cries, and he remained faithful. He splits the Red Sea, and they move. They get through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are crushed under the waves. God was still faithful. He was faithful through the wilderness. All the griping and complaining, God still remained faithful. He is still faithful when we are not faithful. He's been faithful since day one. See, some people might assume that it's hard to serve God. That it's so difficult that they just don't want to do it, that they give up. See, verse 14 says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." With all faithfulness. This is not just a blind faith. This is not a leap of faith. We know God's track record. We see God's track record here. We know God will remain faithful. He'll always be faithful. That's part of his character. God is always faithful. So we know that we can serve him with all faithfulness. That he's going to see you through with whatever he's called you to do. Because he is faithful. See, we know God's track record. We know what he's done for the Israelites. We see it right here in the Word of God. We see all the things God has done. What has God done for you this morning? What has God done in your life? Has he not given you a Savior? Has he not given you Jesus Christ who died upon the cross for you so that you might have everlasting life? Is that not enough to serve God with all faithfulness? With all your whole being, your innermost part, is he not worthy of service this morning? Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve. Can we not serve God, the maker, the creator, the one who is faithful to you, to me, the one who has given new life? Your new life. Maybe your life was so far in the pit, so deep, that you didn't think you were going to get out. But God was still faithful. He still reached down for you. He still pulled you out of the pit. He put you on solid ground. He gave you a foundation. Now you're called to serve him. A challenge Joshua issues to the people. A people wishy-washy for God. Still challenges to serve him with all faithfulness. It says, "Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord only, just the Lord. Nothing else, no accessories, just the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you..." See, that word right there just doesn't quite make sense to me. Why would it still be undesirable to serve the Lord after Joshua had just showed the people everything God had done? But yet we still see it today. We see what God has done. We see who He put on the cross for each and every one of us. There's no doubt. We see it. But yet still some seem to be undesirable to serve God. Undesirable. It says, the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There must have been people who thought it was undesirable to serve God. There must have been people serving the gods past the Euphrates River, the gods of the Amorites. And here Joshua is saying that if you're going to do it, you must choose today who you're going to serve. Today is the day of salvation. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That verse that is plastered on so many walls. But yet, so many people seem undesirable to them. Undesirable. See, the question is this. Is that verse merely just written on the wall of your home or on the wall of your heart? Is that verse implanted in your innermost being? Is it a verse you reflect on daily? Because it's something that must be chosen daily. To serve God and nothing else. Nothing else. There's no other thing that would be deemable worthy enough to serve rather than God. Because He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy to give thanks. He is faithful to us when we pray to Him. That He says He'll answer your prayers. Can you serve God no matter what the crowd does? Can you serve God regardless of circumstances? Are you a person this morning that only serves God when things are looking good? When things just seem like you're on the mountain, and it's so easy to serve God sometimes on the mountain. It's so easy. It's good. I hope you're praising God on the mountain. But can you still serve God in the valley? Can you still serve Him when your life looks like it's crumbling around you? Can you put Him above all else? Make Him the biggest priority in your life. See, the Israelites are going to say something here that I think that most Christians say so often. Then the people answered in verse 16. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on the entire journey and among all nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. He is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. See, Joshua here is not trying to turn them away from serving the Lord. But instead he's saying, this is not something to be taken lightly. When you make a promise, a commitment to God to serve Him, He expects you to hold up your end of the bargain. He expects you to serve Him with all faithfulness. But in verse 20 it says, but the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone, and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." And Joshua dismissed the people each to their own inheritance. So many Christians today, so many Christians just pay lip service to God. Lip service to God. It is not good enough for you just to say that you're going to serve God. You must serve God with all action, with all faithfulness, with all love, because he is worthy of it. God has remained with you from day one. Even in your hardest moments, God has remained with you. Can you just follow in obedience this morning? Can you follow in a way that changes your life and changes the lives of the people around you? Because service is not just for yourself. It's not just for the people around you, but it's to bring glory to God. It brings glory upon God when you serve him with all faithfulness. See, there's something beautiful about Deuteronomy chapter 6. That there was a reason why God had told the people to write it on their hearts, to write it on their door, to write it on their hand, to write it on their foreheads. We must surround ourselves with God. Saturate yourself with God through his word, through prayer, through petition, thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for his faithfulness. His faithfulness to you. Now we're going to jump to Judges chapter 2 because I think we need to see this morning. Judges chapter 2 verse 6. Now Joshua had just dismissed the people. They said they're going to serve God with all the faithfulness. They're just going to serve him. They're going to serve anything else. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of the inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north Mount Gash. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestor, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods and the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger. Yet we just saw them make a commitment. Make a commitment to God to serve him only, and here we see they do the exact opposite. They do the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do, and we see that so many times in today. So many people say that they're going to be committed to God, yet do the opposite. Do the opposite. Are you going to serve God only this morning? Are you just going to pay God lip service? God does not want our lip service. He wants our fruit. The fruit from our lives. That fruit that comes from serving God with all faithfulness. Did you know it's better for you to serve God than any other God? any other God, because there is no other God besides God, the God. There's only one God. You can put whatever you want in your life, whether money or power or authority, but it means nothing. It means nothing. God is still God, regardless of our unfaithfulness. I thank God every day that He's still God in my life, regardless of my unfaithfulness. That He still loves me, that He still demonstrated His love for me, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for you. He died for each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. See, God takes our commitments and promises seriously. Seriously. But there is no better commitment than to serve God. God has blessed me more when I serve Him with all faithfulness. When I'm faithful in serving God. There's times where I want to give up. And I'm sure there's times where you want to give up. Where it seems hard. But we must press on. Jimmy talked about finishing strong last week. To finish. It doesn't mean anything if you don't finish. See, there's something great about God. That in our lack of strength, in our lack of power, God gives us strength. God gives us the courage to do whatever He's called you to do. Whether that thing seems as mighty as splitting the Red Sea, holding up a staff to split the Red Sea, God can give you the strength to do such things. See, God is still the same in the Bible. He's still the same today. Those big miracle moments, God can still do those today. He's doing those today, but yet we're not seeing them because we're not serving God with all faithfulness. See, when we begin to be faithful servants, we not only see our life change, but we see the lives of others change. When God calls you to spread the gospel, the message of Christ to somebody, you can watch that person's life change. New life be born right in front of you. A miracle. A debt that could never have been paid without the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you three things this morning. Three things to help you. Because I know it can get tough. I know it can be hard sometimes. And if you're not doing these three things, it's really going to be hard. Three simple things, but yet probably three of the things that aren't done the most. Number one, pray and give thanks. Simple, right? Here, pray, give thanks. But yet, so many people don't do it. And they wonder why their life is a mess. Pray and give thanks. Why? God is worthy of it. God is worthy of it. He is faithful. See, God is worthy of our service, and He desires our obedience. He wants our obedience because He knows that it's better for you to live according to obedience. Two, one of the biggest things that aren't done, read the Bible. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Ask God to give you understanding. To show the things in your life that need correction. To show the things in your life that you need training in. So that you can be equipped for every good work that God has for you. Every good work. Because anything that God calls you to is good. Anything. Three. One of the biggest questions, what's God's will in my life? Seek it. Seek God's will in your life. Because when we live according to God's will, blessings begin to flow. Blessings upon blessings. Your cup overflows. Overflows so much that the people around you get a taste of it. A taste of the blessing in your life. Not that your life will be so mountaintop all the time, because it won't. In fact, we know it won't, because we know trials and tribulations are going to come. It's not of if, it's when. But see, when we do those three things, when we pray, we give thanks, when we read and study the Word of God, and when we keep seeking God's will in your life, those valley moments don't seem as bad as they would without God. You need God. So many people have chose it to be undesirable to serve the Lord, and they don't know what they're missing. They don't know what God can do in their life. They don't know that He can give them new life. He can give them foundation. They don't know that God can give them peace and grace and mercy and love, because they deemed it undesirable to serve Him. Can you step in the gap? Can you serve God with all faithfulness? That maybe somebody around you might come to know Jesus Christ. God's still not done saving people. He's still saving people today. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know if your neighbor knows Jesus Christ? And I mean your literal neighbor, the person that lives in the house next to you. Do you know if he knows Jesus? Have you ever actually just knocked on his door and asked, "What's your name?" Something so simple. Something so simple, but yet could change a life. Build a relationship in the form of that you can now share the gospel with that person. That neighbor you've had for 10 plus years. Do you know if he serves God with all faithfulness? You know if she serves God with all faithfulness? See, we have a choice this morning. The same choice that Joshua gave to the people. Choose this day. Choose this day for yourselves whom you're going to serve. See, the world, the devil, has made it very desirable to serve anything else except God. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He's put a veil over them. And can you serve God in a way that removes the veil? Serve God in a way that God works through you, through His Holy Spirit, changing that person's life, removing the veil so their eyes may see the Savior on the cross. That Savior that should mean so much to you. But when's the last time His name's left the mouth of you or of me? We have the same choice that Joshua gave to the people. See, it's not a question about God's goodness. It's not a question about God's faithfulness. We see it. We see God's goodness. We see God's faithfulness. But it's a question of our willingness. Are we willing to give up everything? To give up all the things of this world and serve God faithfully, without interruption? Can you serve God, the one who gave it all? See, I pray this morning that these verses that we're going to look at, I pray that this verse right here is not something merely just read, but something experienced. That you can say to the people, that you can say to the President of the United States, you can say to the highly educated, that me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter who you serve. That's what Joshua's saying here to the people. It doesn't matter if you serve the gods across the Euphrates River. It doesn't matter if you serve the gods of the Amorites. It doesn't matter if you serve power. It doesn't matter if you serve money. All it matters is, who are you going to serve this morning? Who are you going to serve? It's not a question about God's goodness. It's not a question about His faithfulness. Those things are obvious. God is always good. Always good. Never forget that. Always good. No matter what's happening, God is always good. I can't stress that enough. There's too many people questioning God's goodness. Too many people questioning it. It's not a question. It's laid out right here. Right here in the Word of God. See, the first step for you to serve God is to pick up His words. To pick up the thing that He gave you. The thing that He left you. To use the Holy Spirit for understanding. So that you might find the will of God in your life. To be living sacrifices for God. Can you imagine a church filled with people serving faithfully? Could you imagine the things that God could accomplish through His people? Unworthy people. Undeserved people. But yet He still chooses us. He still chooses us to show His power. He uses our weakness to show His strength. There is no greater blessing than letting God use you in your life. Saying that, where you go, God, I'm going to go. Or where you stay, I'm going to stay. Do you know what God's will for you is this morning? See, are you letting these verses mold you into who God has called you to be? Who God has called you to be. Are you letting Him be the potter? Are you letting yourself be the clay? Are you letting Him mold you? Refine you? See, sometimes when we're refined, the heat gets turned up. It gets hot. But can I tell you that the outcome is always beautiful? Beautiful. When you serve God, you're where you need to be at. So who are you going to choose this morning? Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. Can I tell you this? That it'll be one of the greatest things you ever did. One of the greatest things you ever did is to ask Jesus Christ into your life. One of the greatest things. Have we forgotten that this morning, church? Have we forgotten the power of Jesus Christ? Have we forgotten the things that He's done for us? The things He's done for the Israelites, and the thing He has done for you. If all He ever did was that one thing of salvation, He is worthy to be served. But see, God loves us so much. He loves you so much that He wants to bless each and every one of you. Bless you in mighty, mighty ways. But you have to be willing to serve Him with all faithfulness. All faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've lost your complete surrender to God. Maybe you used to be on fire for Jesus. Maybe you used to do things and you look back and you wonder, man, I wish I could do those things again. You keep living on past testimonies. God wants to make new testimonies in your life, but you have to be willing to live and serve faithfully to God. So as we stand, remember this. This is not a commitment to be taken lightly, but it is a commitment to change your life.